Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show.
Well, hello, and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America, where we have had, pardon me, an H-E double hockey stick kind of day. We had what's called a straight line storm, and I feel fortunate. I'll know more in the daylight, but we live in the tornado area, and I've been praying for the people in Kentucky and Missouri and that cluster of states, Illinois, I guess, that got hit by those god-awful tornadoes. And then we found last night that we were going to be having what's called a straight line storm. Now, we're also tornado country, and in, six decades, I've only known of one other straight line storm. And what made it worse than a tornado in our area, which usually, wreaks horrible havoc in one part of town where it lands or trails, the last straight line storm we had, the whole city looked like a bomb had dropped on it. And this is only the second one today in my lifetime. The winds were sustained at 90 miles an hour. Incredible. It sounded like a train, and it wasn't even a tornado. Now, like I said, I feel blessed as far as I know. Of course, I haven't seen our roof yet, just some fallen limbs in our area, and I'll need to watch the news tonight after the show to see what else might have happened around here. But if you hear bells or we lose power, the storms have stopped, but and our power was gone. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to be here. But the winds are still sustained at 45 miles an hour. So provided we keep our power, I'm waiting for my guest to show up. Hopefully she'll dial in a minute, and I'll go through some preliminary introductions. And if not, then I've got some great Christmas holiday tunes I haven't had the opportunity to play, and I'd be happy to have you guys call in if you'd like. And otherwise, it'll be a short show. So, in any case, for those of you who may be new around here, Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. And for that, it takes a good bit of warrior. Again, I'm your host, Kim Justice. And, you know, I might as well, since my guest isn't here, and I'll tell you briefly who that was or is, if she's running late in a moment. but I might as well plug myself for Christmas. You guys don't hear me do that, but Christmas is 10 days away, and Amazon is pretty quick. If you've got someone in your life who is a brain injury survivor, you might check out my book, In a Flash, Miracles Here and Beyond. Or if you like animals and nature and a fun story, it's a true story about an owl named Hootie, then Hootie's Hollow and the Magic Tree. Now, to find either of those books, it's inaflash.org is my website. They're both on Amazon, but if you look at inaflash.org, then you'll find links that'll take you directly to each of those two books of mine. And they come in paperback, which is probably more what you'd want to give, or audiobook, or ebook. So shamelessly, as I haven't done since I've written them, I don't think, you've got just enough time to order a book. If you know somebody that is a reader, they're an easy read, and I appreciate the feedback from all of you who have read my books. And hopefully Hootie was deep down in his hollow today for this terrible storm and wind going on. I haven't seen him today, but he has a tendency to, if he's had a good hunt, and he's also a very good weatherman. So I think he knew that this weather was coming. Hopefully he went, had a good hunt last night and got a couple of mice or voles or something and has got them down inside the hollow of the tree, which I think is fairly deep. So hopefully he's safe in there. It's a big old tree. Some limbs have fallen off of it into our yard, but the tree is safe. So in any case, I hope you guys are all having a good holiday season. Mine has been challenging, as I know many of yours have. But my friend Ron, you know, last week Karen and I did a show on traditions, and I'd recommend that you go back. I think it's in the featured episodes right now, and check that out. This might be a short show tonight between my guests not being here, and God, I can't believe my power came back on. I was worried about spacing her off with the power off, but the power came off in time. My guest was going to be, or maybe, we'll see, Ellie Harry, and she was going to be talking about, well, basically love, twin flames exposed. And in my notes here, I'm not going to go into it too much. We'll see if she comes. But, you know, love is something that we think of, well, a lot, probably all year long. But there's probably an emphasis on love around the holidays because perhaps you've lost a love, haven't found the love you seek, or any other number of issues. Maybe you're conflicted in the love that you have, and that's hard to reconcile during the holidays. And, of course, you have to love yourself, which it took me a long time to learn, before you're capable of being able to love someone else, until you learn to self-soothe and embrace yourself, the good and the bad, the four A's I talk about in the beginning, to be aware of yourself, to take action on the things that you think should be changed, and to accept yourself for who you are and feel comfortable and strong in who you are. Then you're going to attract like types of people and be closer to finding those compatible souls to love. But the more doubt or contempt or fear you have about yourself, you usually draw what you're putting out there. I don't want to borrow this gal's notes, and I don't know if she would agree with what I'm saying. But in any case, I did like a quote at the beginning. It's by Rumi. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. I thought that was interesting because I know in love relationships in my past and family relationships and some friend relationships that I have been guilty of getting in my own way. And my troubles were basically of my own making. And for the longest time, I wanted to blame others or blame anyone but myself and take responsibility for my actions and my behaviors and understand that I was going to draw what I was putting out there. And the minute I let go of those old ideas, I met my husband, who is much different than anyone I dated before. And we met around 40, age 40. So I had a lot of practice going into this. And so I can tell you all the things not to do, but I'm not going to make this show about particularly without a guest. I'll do that on another night. In any case, I'm looking forward to try to make the best out of the holidays. As many of you know, my folks, a lot of changes have gone on in our family in the last year. And the Christmas that was a tradition for the last 62 years changed. It changed with COVID a couple of years ago. And then with a move out of the house where we've celebrated the holidays since the 70s, this year. And so this is going to be a first this year. As last year was a first with COVID, the extended family that always used to get together split when COVID started, had it in their own household. So the large group got quite a bit smaller. And the few of us were sitting around with masks on. This year, we've got a completely different situation. So like a lot of us do, I'm trying to make the best out of a situation that's really challenging. And I know a lot of you were too. My friend Ron was saying in the chat room last week, and I could sure relate to him, boy, because this is exactly where I was. Because of these changes, having kind of a defeatist, apathetic, to heck with it, sort of attitude, I'm not going to bother decorating. Why decorate? Things are so difficult that I barely have the energy some days, you know, to get up and go through the motions of life on life's terms. I feel so tired. And as a brain injury survivor who suffers from neurofatigue anyway, stress will really bring me to my knees, particularly when it's prolonged stress. And a lot of you know that I had broke my foot in three places and had a couple surgeries, all in a clump, in a row. It was 3 months, about 3.5 months ago, because I wore the boot for 3 months. And wasn't driving, so just challenges, changes. And I didn't feel like I had it in me. And then I decided when I thought about it, and my husband and I were watching a movie, and I looked over and I thought, you know what? We're worth it. I'm worth it. He's worth it. And I think we should decorate. This was Thanksgiving weekend, and we had been planning on having our first holiday with my family in a new location then. But there was some COVID, and we weren't able to go. And so that shook me. Not my folks. They didn't get it. And now, as of Monday, the doors are open again, so I hope they stay that way and Christmas works out. But Thanksgiving weekend, I wasn't in such a great place. Decided that it would be a good idea because I could sit and ruminate and make myself sick or make an effort for myself, for my husband, for those dogs. For those of you who know, Libby, Benny, Mario, I mean, sorry, Tino. There was a Mario once, miss him, but nope, Tino. And so we did get out our holiday decorations. And you know, there's something magical about Christmas if we let it be. I took, I like snow globes. We don't do a tree. I haven't done a tree for a lot of years, but I am a Christmas decoration freak, not ornament, but things like these snow globes. I really love those. And I grew up in the time, he's still there, but Rudolph. I loved Rudolph and Clarissa and just that whole show. And so I got out those things and, you know, that I hadn't seen for a year. And a bit of that, a spark of that magic, a spark of that childlike wonder and joy came back in those moments in spite of me because I did make the effort. And so we have some pictures. We take down my art and put up some pictures, couple of them of snowy villages and one of a Christmas tree, and they look like normal pictures on the wall, but you flick them on in the evening and they twinkle. So we've got twinkling lights all over and the snow globes and our life-size 5-foot-tall Santa who sings and dances. And some of that magic came back. And I was talking about that last week. And I thought it was interesting because my friend Ron in the chat said that he wasn't going to bother. And he's had some big changes and neuro fatigue and pain incidences this year as well. And so I knew why he wouldn't want to do it, to bother, like I hadn't wanted to, but I had some insight into his reasons. And nothing heroic, I just knew that it made me feel better to have some of that wonder and some of that joy that comes with pulling those things out that you haven't seen for a year, and feeling more of the spirit of Christmas instead of being totally, I don't feel it this year. And tangible things like that do help. They do help soothe the wounds and bring back moments of that magic and spirituality of Christmas. And I think that's God's way of helping us one of the many ways through these rough spots. And so when Ron mentioned that he just might, by the end of the show, get out a Christmas tree, a little Christmas tree that had lights and ornaments already on it, I encouraged him to do that. And I can't tell you, one of my best gifts this Christmas was when I saw Ron's post on social media that he had put that tree out. He had gone and got the tree and put it out and even found a couple other things. And he felt that renewal that I felt by doing the same. So if you're out there, there's 10 days left until Christmas. And if you're feeling like there's no reason to bother and you're sitting out there feeling lonely, perhaps you've lost someone this year, perhaps you haven't found someone this year and that was your aim. There's a lot of things going on. I know inflation and the troops coming home and the things that they're dealing with. And yeah, there is so many problems, but we can take those up after the first. I say we give ourselves the next 10 days to celebrate the spirit of Christmas and to self-soothe and take care of ourselves. Ron's mentioning that a friend, a relative, liked the tree and the scented candle that he saw today. So you see, you know that old adage, not an adage really, a dynamic, when you start laughing real hard in a room, how other people start laughing, they might not even know what you're laughing at, but they start laughing too because they say that the laughter is contagious. You know, I think joy can be contagious. I know depression and negativity can be. If you hang out with negative people and depressed people and you have a tendency to be that way yourself, that's the direction your energies are going to get pulled. But I made a decision, passed that decision on, and Ron made that decision. That was like a huge gift for me for Christmas. Understanding the hurt he was going through, but celebrating the joy that he was feeling. And now he's been able to share that with others. Now, there was someone on my Facebook page who had the same attitude as Ron and I, and we both encouraged her to do the same. Whether she did or not, I don't No. I'll have to look up her page. She kind of didn't answer. She said she'd think about it or she'd try. And I really hope she did. And I really hope that you do if you're out there. However you can feel the cheer and have this break, because for those of us in cold weather, I don't know about y'all in warm weather places, but for those of us that have winter, after the holidays, we got January, February, and the better part of March where nothing's going on except nasty weather. And I usually have a difficult time around then. It was January 9th that I had my ruptured brain aneurysm in 1995, and it was that freezing, brittle, cold out and snow and biting wind. And you know, for me, there's always been a letdown after the holidays. Now, when things changed the last couple years, you know, I was feeling the letdown before the holidays, and then I thought, like I said, that's crazy. You know, we have some choice in this, in the choices that we make. And there are people that are willing to help us and support us in doing that if we just look. You know, we might all suffer in silence, but the minute we mention it, there's usually someone willing to put out a hand, someone who maybe hasn't walked the exact same path. But when we all get to a certain age, we've experienced pain, rejection, loss, grief, change. And it's hard. And so the only way that we can really get through this is together. So the politics and the BS aside that we deal with on a day-to-day, and that after the first we'll be back into that, I say for the next 10 days, let's let all of that go. Screw climate change, electric cars, politicians. You know, screw the inflation, the gas, the food. If you've got enough food to eat and a roof over your head, that is a lot to be grateful for. For the people that don't, if you're able to even donate a canned good to your local pantry, food pantry, to help out someone else, or coats in our neck of the woods here in the Midwest, if you have an old coat or gloves or hat, this is surely the time people are needing them. There are a lot of ways to help others, but where it starts is here at home. So I encourage you guys to start there at home in the time that you have left and find that magic of Christmas. Find that joy and spread it around while we can. You know, I know a lot of us try to do that all year long, but this is a time that is symbolic of that for most of us in this country, and a good time to remember it. And it's not just about giving, 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 and forgetting ourselves. God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. We're His children. And if you believe that about Christmas, then nobody wants their children to be miserable and lonely and hurt and in fear. He wants us to be happy, joyous, and free, and to celebrate at this time of year in any way that we know how or feel comfortable, going as far or as little down the lane as we can, but making the effort, because for making the effort, we do get rewarded. And whether we know it directly or not, we're helping others by our example. We're bringing them a little bit of joy or encouraging them to do something, anything, to make whatever it takes to make them feel some of the joy and magic of the season. I mentioned last week that Craig, the owner of our network, sent me a couple pictures. I haven't talked to him in forever, and we haven't texted, but I got three pictures in a row, which didn't quite have any taste to them, but he had been baking. There was some beautiful green, light green frosted cupcakes with some sprinkles on them, and a big tray of, I think they were peppermint brownies, and another tray of something, and what he had been doing was baking like a madman, and he was making gift baskets to give away. Now, I don't quite have that energy, but that was awfully cool. And look at how many people he's going to touch with goodies. and bring some joy this holiday. So however you do that, I encourage you to do that. And I think what I'm going to do tonight, I'm not sure where my guest went. Like I said, I was worried all day. That's another thing. It just goes to show you. You know, when the wind and all of that was happening, we live in a neighborhood with a lot of big old trees. And we've got huge limbs that go over, you know, our roof and our fence. And if my husband, me, or the dogs were out there, you know, something could easily, one of those freak accidents. And then also, just before it got up to the 75 mile per hour sustained, we were probably at 50 mile an hour gusts. My mom needed some medicine that she didn't get when she was out earlier. And so I decided I would go get it for her. I want her to be well before Christmas, so hopefully we can celebrate with them this year. And I think it's just an allergy, but she was having some coughing. And so I drove to the pharmacy drive-through, and I was going down the street, and there were garbage cans. It had been garbage day on that street, and there were garbage cans blowing across the road and hook clouds up against me, if you know what those are, and debris, not tumbleweeds. Maybe it was somebody's bushes. I'm not sure. But there was all kinds of things blowing into the road, and I'm looking up at the sky, and I'm feeling my blood pressure go up and getting scared, actually. I just wanted to get the medicine there, toss it off, pray that it works, and get home. And as I was on my way home, the power went off here at the house. So my husband texted me, and my phone had drained. I was down to like 4%, and it was going to stop. You know, my phone was just going to shut off. I hadn't even noticed that when I left. And so I did drop off the medicine, but my husband let me know our power was off, so I wasn't going to be able to pull into the garage. He was going to have to manually let me in. And the traffic light, the main traffic light on the way to my house, is this yellow sky is now passing in front of me, and I'm hearing the thunder in the distance. The red light is blinking all directions because the power went out in our quadrant, and that was included in it. And so we're all taking turns, and I'm just wanting to get home. And I made it home, but that trip helped me have a splitting headache and an upset stomach, and just didn't feel very good. And I got in the house, and the sirens were blaring. In fact, the sirens started blaring while I was at that blinking red light. And so I didn't know. It was just a scary moment. Now I was worried. You know, I was worried we didn't have power, and I didn't know how to get a hold of my guest. An agent sent her to me, and we exchanged just yesterday a confirmation that this was going on tonight, so I hope my guest is okay. But I thought, what am I going to do if I can't be here because we don't have power? Gosh, there's sirens going on out there. Ambulance sirens. I have a feeling there's probably going to be a lot of accidents out there tonight with all this weather that's gone on. Things are probably blowing into the road and people aren't seeing them. So I thank God that I'm home, that my folks are safe where they are, and that I was able to get the medicine there and make it home safe, and take some Tylenol, get my power back, show up in case my guest did. And so I got to tell you that I don't have a lot to add tonight. Next week will be the night before Christmas Eve. So I hope I'll be telling you that the next night I'll be spending with my folks celebrating Christmas Eve. And who is my guest next week? I'm not really sure. I'm sorry. I'm a little discombobulated with everything that's been going on. But I am really enjoying the snow globes and winding them up and hearing the music. I love music box music. And that's the kind of music, Christmas carols, that are coming out of those snow globes when I dump them in over and see the snow. I realize that I like it a lot better in the globe where you don't have to drive in it or feel it. You can just see the beauty of it. But in any case, if anyone wants to call in, the number's 424-243-9540. 424-243-9540. I think what I'm going to do is I did upload some holiday music as I normally do, but when I interview these guests, I really haven't had time to play any of my indie artists, let alone the holiday music. And so I'm going to play a couple of tunes, then maybe I'll think of something profound to say and pop back in. And you guys are welcome to call in if you'd like to at any point to talk about whatever. And it may be a shorter show. Maybe you'll just sit back and put your feet up and listen to some holiday music a little bit with me. And I just pray that no matter where you're at, physically or emotionally, again, that you can just allow yourself for the next 10 days, one day at a time, to remember the happy memories, to treasure the fact that you have them to remember. I was going through some old, when my folks moved, I got a couple bins of old family photos. I posted some of them, for those of you that are a friend of mine, of Christmases past. And I got to tell you, when I was down there doing that, I was feeling melancholy, if you will. But again, there's always two sides to every coin, and a time and a season for everything. What I do have to say, regardless of the things that give me heartburn and tears now, is that I have been so blessed to have the people and the time and the memories that'll always be in my heart, that I'll always cherish. There's so many people that aren't fortunate. I have truly been blessed. And there's times that I don't remember that's not what's in front of my mind. What's in front of my mind is something I'm afraid of. Afraid of not getting something I want, or losing something that I've got. And that fear overwhelms me to the point, gives me a headache and stiff muscles and sleepless nights. And, you know, there's some choice in that, and some of it is just a reflex, and it happens. But boy, I really like to dwell on the other side of the coin. And that's that I've never been master of the universe. things are going to happen the way they're going to happen, regardless of what I want. I can only control what I can control. And that's making our house look festive and allowing myself to enjoy it and sharing it with anyone I come past. So I'm going to play a quick song. I bet you guys will know this, but for a minute, put my feet up and enjoy this. One thing I haven't had the opportunity to do a lot of, my husband and I have watched some holiday movies. I was trying to do things on purpose. You know, that's what you have to do sometimes when you're just feeling like you can't do it. You just can't do it. Don't want to, can't. Is that you have to give yourself a nudge. Not just with those cherished items or item, even one of them, that I was talking about, but I've had us watching Christmas movies, a bunch of Christmas movies. We didn't usually do that before. You know, we'd maybe catch one, but we didn't go out of our way looking for these Hallmark-type cheerful movies that I normally scoff at. But we did. In fact, we watched one the other night. What was it? 100 Dog Christmas? Anyway, for those of you that know me, know that, like I said before, that we have the three dogs. We had four. We've always had dogs. We're dog lovers. And so we watched this Christmas movie, one of the sappy Christmas movies I would normally make fun of. And it was really good. In fact, other people probably thought it was sappy. They gave it not the greatest rating on earth, but we went ahead and watched it. And it was about a bunch of dogs getting rescued. And of course, the couple winds up falling in love that do the rescuing. And the dogs all wind up with happy homes. A storyline that you've seen before. But it did give us a warm fuzzy, literally, in this case, and figuratively. We've also watched quite a few other movies. I've thought, I am going to get connected spiritually to God, and I am going to feel some joy this holiday season if it kills me. And so we watched the movies. We played a couple of YouTube videos, but not as many, and I've got 10 days to do that. But I'm going to start right here, and I'll be right back. Again, I'm Kim. If you want to call, 424-243-9540. Feel free. Otherwise, kick back and listen to a couple tunes. Thank you. an oldie but a goodie, but that's have yourself a merry little Christmas. And I've got a caller who is now on the air. Hi there.
Hello, is it me?
It is, it's you.
It's me, this is Ronald Kratz, and I wanted to say Merry Christmas just in case I miss next week. And to thank,
well, thank you
so much for mustering up that spirit. That, where did you get that spirit from? That was awesome.
Well, I was just kind of feeling like you, like not bothering, because I've been fighting some depression and fatigue and pain.
I know.
You know, from some of the procedures that I had, and I really was going to chuck the whole thing, and then I thought, you know, really, we deserve it, you know, we deserve it. I just want to try. And then I saw it kind of happening with you when you were talking about after you got the tree out initially, it made you think of something else, and that's kind of what happened to me when Gary brought up the Christmas tub, because I couldn't go down the stairs because of my foot.
Yeah.
You know, I was reaching in there and I saw the first snow globe with Rudolph and Clarice in it. And then the next music box that had the Abominable Snowman and Yukon and the others on the piece of ice broken off that they floated away from, you know, the Abominable Snowman. I started, you know, feeling that happiness that I used to feel. I think I must have watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for at least 42 years every single year, you know, that it was on. And we'll probably wind up catching it this year. But, you know, once there was a bite of that joy, I just think that there was something inside that wanted to feel that, but I didn't feel like I could or should because of sad circumstances and changes that were going on. And I thought, you know, immediate parents aside for a moment, if God is the Father, how would he want me to be in this place?
Exactly.
No. No. You know, he wouldn't want me to be in this place, so I'm going to try. And then the minute I started trying, then the joy grabbed me to keep going. And so now, you know, there's a little bit in the kitchen and a little bit in the den and a little bit in the living room. So when I walk through the house, you know, during the day or when we're sitting there at night watching TV and the lights are twinkling in our pictures, you know, I just kind of smile and I'm glad that that I gave this to me and to Gary, because Gary would have gone with, you know, he's so easygoing. He goes with whatever. If I wouldn't have wanted to bother, you know, he probably wouldn't have bothered, because...
So you started it by asking Gary to bring up the box? Correct?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did.
You're amazing.
Well, I don't know about that, but I wanted something to feel happy about.
Look what happened. You created an iceberg out of a little snowball. What happened with the other lady that I tried to pass the baton to?
I don't know. You know, I'll have to look up her page, because she kind of hedged with us, you know, when I said, ask my friend Ron, and then you made the comment down there. And she said, I'll try or I'll think about it or something. And then I haven't been on Facebook a lot, and she didn't answer again. So when we're off of here tonight, I'm going to go directly to her page and just see. See if she did. I hope. You know, I hope that
me
she
too.
Did. Because
I didn't know how well you knew her, or if she was a relative or a cousin or something or what, but...
No, just a friend from a long, long time ago who found me on Facebook,
nice.
And I haven't seen her or talked to her on the phone or anything like that for a really, really long time. She just, you know, we friended. She found me on Facebook, and we friended, and we haven't really had a chance to talk except comments she's made on pictures and things like that. But when she made that comment, I couldn't help but think that that she was asking permission in a way, too. You know, now whether she followed through or not, I don't know. You know, but...
Yeah, I was like, yeah, go for it, you know.
Yeah, when you make the comment, you must kind of somewhere inside want to do it, but have whatever thing that you're going through, like I said, that makes you feel like I've got every reason on earth to be sad and to be unhappy and to not bother. And then, you know, I was just thinking that for me, it's going to get worse before it gets better over the next
year. We don't have a whole lot of hope in that area. But together we can get through this. And it's just, for your listeners, it's just amazing what a little 4-foot tree and a candle can do. I can't go upstairs and crawl in the attic and get the 30-pound tree out and the 20-pound box of decorations and all that, but I got my caregiver to find the little mini tree, and he was surprisingly happy to do it because he doesn't have his own house to decorate up, and his folks are all gone, so I could see how this blossoms into something really good just from you nudging me to
that it happened that way. I do appreciate that. I'm honestly not looking for accolades. It took a lot for me to do it. But then when I mentioned it, I got to tell you, Gary looked over at me after that show, you know, day after, whenever it was, the next day or the day after. But he said, "What are you smiling at?" Because I don't think he had seen me smile for a while. And I said, "You know Ron that I'm always talking about who comes to my show?" And he said, "Yes." And so I told him, I said, "You know, he's always in bed when he goes to bed about a half hour before I'm on air. He's an early riser and goes to bed early." And so I told him the story, you know, that we wound up doing the show on traditions, old ones, new ones. And then he knew how I had felt. I told him how I had felt after I had him bring up those decorations. I said, "You know, I wasn't going to do this." He said, "I had a feeling. I had a feeling, you know, I've been seeing how you've been feeling. And, you know, I wasn't going to push or say anything about it, but I was really happy when you had me bring everything up. You know, I love seeing the house like this now."
So he was also eager, like my caregiver was.
Yeah, in that kind of way, you know. He hadn't thought of it, but, you know, he's got a daughter and the grands, and they, you know, they've chosen to not get vaccines, and we have underlying conditions, and he sees what's going on with me and my folks, and you know, all of us, everybody that I just mentioned, had been used to having the holidays ever since Gary and I met at my folks' house with my extended family. And the last 2 years, you know, things have changed for him too. You know, it wasn't just about me,
right.
You know,
right.
But he's just quiet about it, you know, and doesn't bring it up. And if I wouldn't have done that, you know, he likely wouldn't have done that and would have just let me be and tried to cheer me up, you know, not like that, but he just would have let me be. But once I did that, just like with your caregiver, like you say, once I said, you know, will you bring up the Christmas decorations, the bin, and to be honest, the bin is really too heavy. He was bringing things up a few at a time. So he was actually getting stuff out of the bin and bringing it up. But I have two bins, actually, and one of them is my very favorite things. And the other ones is stuff we could use. And, you know, my mom and dad had so many things, and they, in that frenzy of moving and not wanting to move, got rid of virtually everything. And my mom has a really impressive collection of nutcrackers in tubs. And, you know, moving from a big house into an apartment, they had a storage unit at the new place. And those nutcrackers were at the bottom, are at the bottom of that storage unit. And they're both so tired and in their own mood from this move and their health situation that they didn't bother. And so they were going to be in this new place for their very first Christmas and not... Well, the first thing I saw was, like, our twinkling pictures that we have on the wall. My parents both like cardinals really well, and their old kitchen, they used to be able to look out the window, and they had a feeder, and they'd see the cardinals. And I was going through this catalog, and I saw this twinkling picture of a winter branch of a tree with a little snow and a couple drips on it, and it had a Mr. and Mrs. Cardinal on it. So I bought it for them, and I gave it to them a couple weeks ago because while it's a gift, it's a winter thing, right? And so not specific, Christmas specific, so it could be up there all winter, you know, and they've got it on a stand under where they're where the TV is hanging, so Mr. and Mrs. Cardinal can twinkle at night. And then I had a small white glass Christmas tree, you know, with the light, bright lights in it. And it actually, when you turn it on, there's two different speeds. One you turn on and it just lights up, and the other, it lights up and plays a couple of Christmas, three or four Christmas songs. And I took that day before yesterday, and a great big Santa of hers that she didn't have room for in the storage unit was in our basement, and I remembered it to hang on their front door. So when they, you know, leave to go eat or whatever, and they come back to their place, the first thing they see now is this great big Santa on the door, and then Mr. and Mrs. Cardinal and this lighted Christmas tree. So a little bit of decoration over there, and they really love both of those things a lot, and I just thought that they should have those before Christmas and be able to be, get a smile again, you know, when you don't feel like smiling. Something that, that you really do want to be able to smile. You're just not happy with the circumstances at the moment, you know, but again, when there's a nudge, my mom, you know, when she heard the music out of that tree, she really just loved it. And I know that my dad really likes the Christmas tree. Oh, and then a little, just a little red wood angel holding a wreath that says peace on earth, I think. And so, you know, I was able to do that and help get some decorations over there. Plus, I, you know, I didn't really know what was going to happen after what happened Thanksgiving, so I really wanted to get them some things to their house. You know, day to day, you don't.
None of us
know what's going to happen day to day, but, you know, I wanted them to be able to enjoy some of those things now. And I hope we can go there Christmas. I've got some gifts downstairs, a couple of which are funny. Hopefully those will give them a laugh.
Lord knows what will happen between now and Christmas, the way things are going. But
I know,
you know, the old traditions are gone, and they'll never come back, but you can start new traditions like you're doing with ceramic trees and mini trees and other things that will bring happiness just as the old things do.
Yeah, well, and I think...
Tradition.
You know, well, and I had a lot of years, you know, when I was looking through those pictures... you know, I was, like I said, the memories that I'm fortunate to have, you know, I had Christmas trees a lot of years growing up. You know, my Nana and Grandpa, going back to that time, I had that one picture that I posted of me when I was a little kid holding that Santa Claus that's in my hallway right now, who's about 75 years old. You know, he started out at my Nana and Grandpa's house. It was a decoration of theirs, a stuffed Santa, and I was probably in this picture maybe 4 years old, and I'm standing in front of their old Christmas tree, which was real. That's all they made back back then, were real Christmas trees. You know, you went out and you got yourself a real Christmas tree, and that's back when they used tinsel and the old-fashioned ornaments, and I'm standing in front of this tree holding on to their Santa, hugging him. Well, they had him the whole time they were alive, and then it wound up with my at my parents' house for many, many years, and then I got him, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago, and he's standing in my hallway right now. And when I was going through that bin, seeing that picture of me when I was like four holding this Santa, I was like, God, this Santa predated me to when my mom was younger and is probably 75 years old.
That's amazing.
And then there was, and I'm probably... I mean, I'm older, but you'll remember this time. After the real trees, and we had a lot of those at my folks' house with me growing up, but then we went through that phase. Remember, I don't know if it was the 70s or the 60s when these things were popular, but those silver, they were like really the first fake trees, the silver one with the color wheel. Remember that?
I knew you were going to say that. And I almost broke in. I said, I'll just wait for it. Wait for it. Yep, the silver tree. With
yeah,
the color wheel.
I mean, yeah, the color wheel. I don't know where all that went. I mean, it went away, but I've got a photo
I know,
of it
I must
because...
have I must have thrown it out. Can you imagine?
I know. I wish I had it. I wish I had it now. You know, and everything tends to recycle. I bet they're probably going
to
start selling them one of these years.
I would do that. I would love to put it up in the picture window just as it was before with the color wheel, and you can see it from the street. It'd be a riot.
Me too. Well, and everything has a way of recycling.
I may walk up there and look for it.
Oh, you mean you think you might have it?
I'm not certain I threw it out.
Oh, how funny. Well, I know we don't have ours, so I'm
kind of
waiting until
it... I'm kind of thinking it's there.
Well, get that caregiver back. Get that caregiver and dog back and have him go look and see. That would be really funny because I'm going to have to wait until they come in vogue again and sometime in the future wind up getting it. And then it was after those went away that then fake green trees came.
Yeah,
you know, and
that looked real. Look how real it looks.
Yeah, and then you just spray some air freshener that was like pine or evergreen or whatever the smell was and decorate the tree. And, you know, people did that for a long time because they, you know, didn't like the pine needles all over the floor, especially by the time you were taking the tree out at the end of the season, you know, that trail of pine needles on the way out. And then tinsel went by the wayside before those silver trees came out, and then the fake trees were out.
Tinsel. Did you guys save the tinsel?
I can't remember.
Yeah, my mom was
having it, but
they would get a piece of cardboard and cut a little notch on each end. Or one end, I forget, but drape the tinsel in the notch and save it till the next year. Boy, we were frugal.
What a smart idea. Well, yeah, but that was a smart idea to not have to buy it every year and to do that with the cardboard. I remember when I was little, my mom and I got some styrofoam balls, and it was back when we didn't really have the money to go out and buy a whole bunch of ornaments. We were blessed to be able to do that later. Now they're gone, you know, and they're sale this summer. But I do have a couple. One that I have is one for this time back before she got these styrofoam balls and sequins and straight pins, and we made our own ornaments, and it took a zillion little sequins, you know, to make those. And I've got a couple of those sitting out. I collect rocks, so I've got a big basket that has a bunch of my rocks in it I collected. So I just took those balls and put them in there next to a stuffed Christmas owl. And then one that says 1965 in glitter, a real green Christmas ornament with my name on it. And it was something that we made in school, whatever grade I was in 1965. But I've got that one. And anyway, those silver trees were quite the rage back at that time. And the picture that I found with that in it had my two uncles who now are in their 70s, one in the later 70s and one in the earlier 70s, but they were kids, well, they were teenagers, preteens like that at the when I was of the age to spend the night down at my Nana and Grandpa's when my parents were out. And that was when the Beatles were all a rage, and my uncles both had Beatles haircuts. And so I found this, again, I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and I'm sitting there in front of the silver tree with my uncles sitting on either side of me, and there was a big troll with orange hair and a leopard dress on, and I still have that troll, and the troll is out. It's in our office, and it's got a big hat on it with candles that now have all gone limp, but it was a happy birthday hat. And Gary and I kind of started a tradition whenever it's one of our birthdays and it comes time to blow the candle out of what now I buy a cupcake. You know, we don't need a whole cake, you know, because we need it. So I either go to the little bundt cake store or to the cupcake store. We're fortunate to have one of each not very far from the house. And so I get a candle, and before we blow out our candle, we put on the birthday hat. And so the troll's kind of been the keeper of the hat, the birthday hat.
Well,
but
the downsizing is where it's at.
There's no shame in downsizing. There's not, but I have a lot of that to do because I got a lot of my grandmother's stuff and, some of my parents' stuff when they downsize. So we're the clutter house now.
Maybe there is some shame in downsizing if you start throwing out the family relics.
Well, I don't know. You don't have to have them all, you know what I mean? Because I'm no spring chicken, so eventually I make jokes that really aren't very funny, but kind of true. You know, when I go through we've got this, everybody probably has, you know, little antique stores, but this is like an antique mall, and I think people rent the different booths, you know, that are there, or glass cases or whatnot.
Right.
And it's a humongous place. Gary and I don't think we've been there since the pandemic has started, but it was really good exercise because the place was so freaking huge, and you'd get a lot of laughs in old stuff that when you're old enough to remember this stuff being old, you know, like Polaroid swinger cameras, you know. All the kids with cell phones would never remember those cameras where you took a picture and pulled it out and waited for it to develop in front of your eyes.
Yeah, you had to have one of them, and you had to have the silver tree, or were squat.
Exactly. So, every now and then there's photos, you know, little baskets of photos, and they're old time photographs, and I made a comment to Gary one time that this is where my life's going to end up, at the brass armadillo someday, you know, with all the pictures I've taken, you know, they're going to wind up somewhere. So I don't know. I think when I get the energy, and I'm going to have to muster that, maybe, I don't know if it'll be in the winter. I might decide to write another book this winter, but sometime I do want to start downsizing a lot of that stuff because it doesn't take keeping all of it to have the memories. You know what I mean? You keep a few special things.
Yeah, I threw out some pictures. I mean, you know, do I really need 245 pictures of Uncle Clyde?
Exactly. Yeah.
But I kept some good ones, so it doesn't make me a bad nephew. But I can't say enough about the mini tree and the spirit that it gives. It was amazing. When you told me, yes, do it, go get it, you have to do this, you'll feel better because it happened to me. I was down in the dumps and I figured, yada, 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 yada. I'll feel a little bit better, probably. But no, I felt tons better, tons and tons. So Yeah, do all you can. And another thing to lift your spirits is to take a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And with the nice weather we had, well, that's all leaving again, but it might be too late for me to even say this, but yeah, if the weather's nice, take that walk in the park. And I started saying Merry Christmas to the passerbys, and they responded big time. Yes, Merry Christmas. And
awesome.
It was just spirit-filled. It seemed to fill the whole park. But, yeah, the weather was beautiful, and everybody had their dogs, and it was just awesome.
That's cool. And people, politically correct or anything. People actually responded, and it was like
the
old days.
Yeah, they were all saying hello, and the caregiver says he goes to another park in another town, and people won't even say hello. They're afraid to even make eye contact, and they're all masked up and like in their own little shell. But yeah, it was awesome.
That is cool. You can even say Merry Christmas to masked up people, because, man, you know, this is really, the pandemic has caused whatever problems people have or what we have or whatever. You know, like I said last week, COVID has been an undercurrent under all of it. You know, it's not as if things weren't bad enough. You know, life being full of peaks and valleys and milestones and things like that. It's not like those things aren't hard enough, but that undercurrent of COVID being like a constant stressor underneath, because nobody really knows what to do. You know, I think we all had a lot of hope that this was winding down and over, you know, when the vaccines came out, and then we wind up finding out about breakthrough infections and mutation, you know, the Delta, and now the new Omicron or whatever it is, and it just goes on and on. And I know we're all tired of that, but even things like what you said, wishing people Merry Christmas when you see them, you can't maybe see the smile under the mask, but boy, people are wanting to, you know, they're wanting to. Everybody's tired, and you just either fall into apathy and depression, or, you know, if everybody's pulling on the same oar and just reaching out, not literally reaching out a hand, we don't do that anymore, but sending a gesture out, you know, of Merry Christmas or how you doing, you know,
fist.
As you're walking by. Yeah, fist bump.
You reach out a fist
air
now.
Bump.
yeah,
exactly. You know, I think that's going to be welcome by most people, because as people have isolated, you know, they felt alone and kind of crawling inside themselves. And, you know, eventually we're all going to be coming out different, I think different than before. You know, this dynamic hasn't happened in our lifetime, you know, and after a couple and a half years of this going on, but, you know, different generations, I mean, 100 years ago, that generation, you know, the great influenza of 1918, they went through, 2.5-3 years of that. Then there was, you know, the people that went through the Depression and the people that went through the World Wars. And, you know, each generation has been challenged with things that have probably brought them to their knees. And a lot of people were probably lost, either by giving up or not taking care of themselves or just surrendering.
Well, Well, if history repeats itself, we're in for some real good times after this. World War II and after the Depression and so forth. So
yeah,
we got to think positive.
Well, and what you're saying is true. You know, if people can just hang on, do the kind of things we're talking about, again, one day at a time makes it easier, you know, than looking at a big chunk of time or not knowing for the unforeseeable future. You know, you start thinking like that. You know, you don't want to do that. A day at a time, do what we can do to be happy and find that joy and have faith. You know, that
exactly.
That's part of this holiday, you know, is faith and hope. And things will get
roll
better.
With it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
In the roaring 20s, that was after World War I, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was great. And then after World War II, another thing I watched one night, I was flipping through the channels, and aside from those sappy Christmas movies we were watching, tonight Gary and I watched one of them, but there was one, I came by the History Channel, and it was, the title of the series was called The Toys That Built America, and it was one after another, after another, after another, after another, and I taped like six of them, and the one we watched tonight was the big face-off. It's right when you're talking about. It's after the Depression, after the World War, that suddenly, like around 56 or so, Hasbro and Mattel formed. And Hasbro was originally pencil box and pencil makers, and Mattel was originally furniture.
Oh,
and
wow.
Mattel wound up, I remember this because it's when I was born, but Mattel came up with Barbie in 1959, and Hasbro came up with G.I. Joe not that much longer. Now, they had some toys before that were toys that kind of came and went. You know, they were popular for a short time and then came and went, and then their business model had it where they wanted to create something that was going to last. And it was pretty funny when the woman brought in Barbie to the Toy Expo. That was a big deal where, you know, the expo judges or whatever were going to pick out the toys that were going to be big that year. And girls were, I remember this, you know, girls were used to playing with baby dolls. And when Barbie came out, the toy man looked at the woman who created her and said, keep it. No mother is going to buy, no parent is going to buy any doll with breasts for their child. And they, you know, predicted that Barbie wasn't, you know, was a no-go, and she wound up buying airtime, mortgaged everything they had, all the profits they had made from the couple toys that came and went that were popular, mortgaged everything they had to get airtime, so a commercial every 15 minutes, when the Mickey Mouse Show premiered, and they didn't even know if the Mickey Mouse Show was going to be a success or not. Which, you know, it was a resounding success for many years. And they bought commercials that marketed right to the children. Since the Mickey Mouse Show was a show kids were watching, they bought the airtime, and the little girls saw the Barbie doll. And the hook for the commercial was, I want to be just like Barbie, or you can be like Barbie too, or whatever. And it had a bunch of Barbies standing there, one in a wedding dress and, you know, one in a nice suburban housewife dress and the little shoes and everything. And man, the little girl saw that and they all wanted a Barbie doll. And, you know, the rest is history, you know. And then they made a couple different things with Hasbro. They were brothers. Their last name was something like Hasselhoff, but there were three brothers, so they wound up naming their company Hasbro. And they were kind of a direct competition with Mattel over the years, going back and forth. But ultimately, they came up with G.I. Joe, and because the World War had just happened and there were a lot of heroes, G.I. Joe went over as big as Barbie did. So
yeah, the boys were frowned upon if they played with the Barbies. So they needed that G.I. Joe.
Well, and you know what was funny about that, and I'm laughing too, is that that was part of the thing when they had their board meeting, that there was, when their father was alive, the father said, there's no way boys are going to play with dolls. And the one son, who was the clever one, who wound up, you know, formulating G.I. Joe and all that, making it a success, said, it's not a doll. It's an action figure. That changed everything around, because boys didn't, you're right, boys didn't play with quote-unquote dolls. But when they took the name away and marketed it as an action figure in a military uniform, there was no talk of boys playing with dolls again. It was an action figure. It wasn't a doll, even though it looked like a Barbie doll. But a boy, it was an action figure, and that just shows you the power of words, you know. But yeah, it was pretty interesting. I can't wait to see the rest of them. They're going to go through, I think, the Hot Wheels and the Hula Hoop and some things that we haven't thought of since we were kids, but we owned them, you know.
The big wheel. Yeah. The big wheel, yeah. Thing. It went flying sideways.
Yep.
And rolled over. Yeah. The power of little things is amazing. Even Christmas cards. I get a charge out of Christmas cards. The neighbor sent one, and I was shocked almost, because her husband's in the nursing home and on hospice, and she fell and broke her hip, and she just got home and was still able to send this card. I almost cried. Amazing, the power of little things. An errant rant, Merry Christmas to the postman or something. You never know whose day you're going to brighten by doing something little, like you did for me. And hopefully for that, your other friend, who knows where this went.
Well, you can only plant the seeds, but I like your idea, too. You know, that lady must have, with all she had going on, you know, she really needed to do something. And look what a difference her card made, and that it made for her to have something to do.
Hey, lady, call in if you're listening.
Yeah, you know, I mean, she wanted to take part.
Yeah, call in
your neighbor.
Yeah.
I mean,
God
your neighbor,
her.
If she, well, I mean, that just shows you that, you know, she wasn't able to be involved, but wanted to be involved, and that was a way that she could do it, you know, is by sending that card and that joy that it brought you. So, you know, another thing I'd suggest is the healthcare workers have been dropping over for a couple of years, and our first responders and officers and firemen. And I would encourage you, not only people at large, but, you know, maybe even dropping a card to a local firehouse or the police station, or if you see an officer on the street, you know, wishing them Merry Christmas. They've gone through hell, you know, in 2020, particularly in 2020, and, you know, in 2021 to the point that people are leaving their jobs, you know, and we do need them and we do appreciate them, aside from what a small group, you know, of people were able to make a lot of noise and it changed their job, which was all service oriented. They don't get paid squat for what they do. You know, they're putting up their lives as much as, you know, our military, who I appreciate too, and none of them get paid much money for putting up their lives and being of service. And, you know, all of those people have come in contact with COVID and they've kept doing their jobs in spite of the pandemic happening. So, you know, if you make a card, have a card, or you just have a police department or a fire station or first responders or a hospital in your neighborhood and you just wish someone a Merry Christmas or send a card there, I think that would be really appreciated too, because they've certainly been an underappreciated group of people and that would bring a lot of joy, I'm sure. In fact, I think I'll do that tomorrow. Because, you know, there's been some...
Running out of time.
Yeah. Well, we've got 10 days till Christmas, so...
Yeah. Also, we're running out of radio time.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play a few Christmas carols and then go. But thank you so much for... calling in, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, too. I may or may not see you on social media next week, but thank you so much for calling in tonight, and I really, I love and appreciate you always being in the chat. That means so much to me, but it's very nice to get a chance to actually talk to you.
Yes, you're very welcome, and thanks again for your nudging, for lack of a better word.
I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Take care.
You too.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year. Good night.
Good night, Ron.
Take care.
Okay, that was Ron, and we're happy to have him here. So I'm going to play another Christmas carol. How about that? I'll be right back.
Oh, come, all ye faithful. walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is a bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no man, but you can do the job while you're in town. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plan that we've made, walking in a winter gonna say a little prayer. I'm gonna stop here for a moment before the moment disappears. The world's in a hurry this December. The city streets and shopping malls. I wish we could slow down and remember the meaning of it all. Wherever you are, no matter how far, come back to the heart of Christmas. Live while you can, cherish the moment, and the ones that you love, make sure they know it. And don't miss it, the heart.
Like she wants to speak freely, but doesn't yet trust me, like she'd break as soon as she'd begin. Could be guilt, could be anger, or something else altogether, but she tells a full story just by holding it in. And it's times like these I'm reminded why we're still preaching Christ crucified, praising the King who was born to die, that we'd stay alive.
We're down to the 3-minute mark, so I'm going to pop in here and say thanks a lot for listening tonight. Please enjoy the next 10 days up until Christmas. I don't know, what did we do on the 10th day of Christmas? I appreciate you listening. I appreciate your support. I wish you all happy holidays. I'll be back next Wednesday. Thank you. Good night and God bless. I'm going to close with Jars of Clay. One more song that should take us right to the end. So thank you all for being here. Good night, and we'll see you next week with a guest who will hopefully show up. I so appreciate Ron calling in tonight. Not that I wouldn't any night, but tonight was huge. Got the power back. Guest didn't show up. Got to talk to a friend and listen to some great music. So everybody take care.